Okay.
Well, Christmas and Hollis kind of beat going on this morning. I like it.
You know, I once caught my mom kissing Santa Claus.
Uh-oh. How did that go for you, Dusty?
I don't know.
That was probably something that you did not need to see. My kids catch us just about once a week kissing Santa Claus.
Good thing Christmas is on a Thursday.
Yeah, it really is. Good thing, right?
Otherwise, they'd find the North Pole and the South Pole.
Fa-la-la-la-la, baby.
Did you hear they interviewed Gardner Minshew yesterday about what he's going to do coming back?
I'm ready to go in, Coach. Just give me a chance. I know there's a lot riding on it, but it's all psychological. Just got to stay in a positive frame of mind. I'm going to execute a button hook pattern super slow-mo.
How'd you choose that?
Yeah, there you go.
We're out of the funk, right? Nathan started us some funk. Yesterday was the funk. We found out, you know, yesterday a little more severe than we thought.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. I have no idea where or what the LCL is.
It's the other one. Oh. Yeah, right, yeah.
Why wouldn't it be the BCL?
Because you got the ACL, the MCL, and the LCL, right? And
so we jump from A to M to L?
AML, yeah, that's how it works.
AMF.
I'll be honest with you. I don't remember hearing much about the LCL.
Well, Dr. Chow, the pro football doctor, has got all the information.
Thank God. He's got all the answers, right?
If you didn't have him, by Lord, you wouldn't know when to take your medicine.
I wouldn't know what to do without Dr. Chow telling me what to do.
He showed us how you care. Did you see the videos? Yeah. I thought it was, I swear to God, and I don't mean to do that, but I promise you, I literally thought it was a prank video. I did not think that guy was a serious person.
Oh, yeah,
he's
real.
He's like literally in the camera and like a button up and slacks, and he's like, when you do this motion, I'm like, is he really like, I feel like he's teaching me how to do the cha-cha slide.
Yeah, or how to tear your ACL. Six of one, half a dozen of the other. But, I mean, yeah, I didn't know much about the LCL. I knew the MCL, but then they said the LCL was also, you know, damaged in there, and all the fear-mongers are running around talking about how this is going to be now worse and whatnot. Well, of course it's going to be different.
Well, it's another ligament.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's one versus two, of course.
Well, we had a lot of text line doctors yesterday.
Oh,
we
I imagine
had one
so, yeah.
That was a freak athlete. It was triple jumper D1 college.
Ooh,
said
wow.
He had ACL surgery, came back in 6 months.
How about that? Wow.
6 months.
That's crazy, man.
Week five is where I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm not moving from that. With the LCR, the ACL, and the
PCL,
and
the ACL.
BBL.
Yeah, the BBL.
Stinky. We're on a roll. We're only 2 minutes and 40 seconds in.
And Nathan's here today for Mac.
Yeah. Mac's got bad guts, dude.
He really does. He needs to get his stomach removed or something like that. I don't know, man. Like,
you know, actually,
gotta stop
Nathan,
that up.
We got a text from Nathan in voice text. He said this yesterday.
I'm ready to go in, Coach. Just give me a chance. I know there's a lot riding on it, but it's all psychological. Just got to stay in a positive frame of mind. I'm going to execute a button hook pattern super slow-mo.
So, in all seriousness, Mahomes did go through with the surgery, I believe, yesterday evening.
Yeah, last night. We told you it was going to be fast,
right?
Yeah, you
didn't even watch that putrid game last night.
No.
My God.
Yeah, that thing stunk. I watched about the first half of that thing, and I think I saw one touchdown in the first half. I'm like, I'm bouncing out of this one, man.
Yeah.
I can't do this thing. This sucks.
It was a bad product.
You
but
know
hey,
what
whatever.
Sucks about it, though, Dusty, honestly, watching
the Ravens, are his hopes dwindling?
Well, no, not only that. It's like I'm watching these games. I'm like, God, and this is the year we picked to crap the bed, right? Like, this was the year we picked to crap the bed when the rest of the NFL isn't anything that's
did you
all
hear what Rich Eisen said
that
yesterday?
Great. No, what did he say?
He said yesterday on his show that you're going to miss the Chiefs.
Oh, you are.
He's like, the NFL is fun when the Chiefs are in the NFL.
That's right.
And you're going to realize this playoff that there's not going to be that. But maybe, hey, maybe it is a good year. And I mean this for everybody. Maybe this is a good year to just kind of be like, you know what? Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back. We know they will be. We know they're going to come back stronger than ever. I don't have any doubt in my mind about that. But this is a good year to just be like, you know what? I don't care this year.
Right.
And you know what? Josh Allen, Buffalo, good luck.
Go do it.
And we're going to see the graphic change. I remember Sunday, it was like, this is going to be the first playoffs without Mahomes or Burrow. And now they're going to re-edit and say Lamar.
Right.
Because Pittsburgh again wins last night.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Baltimore still has a fighting chance. Miami has basically eliminated
last night.
No,
they were eliminated. Yeah.
Yeah, eliminated last night.
Yep.
And now you're kind of getting down to, like, you kind of know where we're going because we're week 16, then we're
right.
Christmas, and then the next week is the last one of the year. But you're right. I think there is kind of that weird feeling this year where, I honestly, on the Super Bowl, I would not be surprised if it was the Jaguars and, I don't know, the Lions.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Who knows? Like, that has that. I would also not be surprised as well if it's not Buffalo and the Rams, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think that's, if you were to break down the odds of a matchup, I think that would be your favorite.
Probably. Buffalo, I would think so. Maybe New England squeaks in there, but Buffalo just beat New England, so you would have to think it would be Buffalo and the Rams, the two top seeds, right?
How much would you feel like Mac if it was New England and Philadelphia?
You know, I wouldn't feel like he would. I wouldn't be all in my feels about that one. But, I mean, I wouldn't like, you know, those two teams being in it.
Worst case scenario.
But you know what would be awesome is that all the East Coast media has got to go all the way to the West, and it's going to mess up everything that they have to do. So I am in on that a little bit to give them a nice little, you know, run around and all the kind of crap that they've got to deal with a big time difference on something like that. But that's behind the scenes type of stuff. I think it would be interesting if Philadelphia made it back, because that means they've overcome everything, like, that they've been through this year, from people benching the quarterback, egging the offensive coordinator's house, to wanting the coach fired, to whatever the hell has gone
on
there.
You could never fire Sirianni.
You really couldn't if they get to the Super Bowl this year, right? Maybe they'll blame it on that, you know, that positivity bunny, and give him a lot of the credit for being in that locker room for the week. But yeah, if Philadelphia makes it back this year, my God, man, like, Sirianni, then you really have to start talking about being one of the better coaches in the NFL. But now this league is wide open this year, guys. It really is. Mm-hmm. And when you look back at the Mahomes injury, maybe it's a blessing in disguise, and I say that because that's even more drive for Patrick Mahomes this offseason than he was already going to have. And maybe it's more drive, you know, for the organization as well, to look at this and realize he's mortal, right? Like, for the last 8 years, he was immortal. Like, this guy could withstand everything. And we saw the first mortal moment, if you will, of Patrick Mahomes' career on Sunday. And then immediately he has the surgery last night. Rehab starts today. The chief said immediately he'll begin the rehab process, which we knew. But now that he's had that injury, had that down season, you saw some mortality with him. Maybe that's the message that gets sent to the organization this offseason, to say, hey, we got a guy out here that we thought was this immortal figure that we could just do anything we want and he would carry us. And then we saw him go down, and we saw that, you know what, maybe he does need some help as he's getting up there in age. And maybe this spurs on the organization to do some different things, and spurs on Clark Hunt, quite frankly, to allow them to go out there and do some different things to make this roster stronger now around Patrick Mahomes. Because that's what it ultimately comes down to. He needs more weapons around him right now.
This was Andy Reid yesterday, in case you missed it.
Yeah, I've had a good visit with him a couple different times. So, He's in a good place. You know, he always feels like he let people down, but then he comes back and he's ready for the challenge ahead.
Look forward to it.
You know, which is what's real right now. He's just got to get through surgery, wherever it might be, and then move on from there.
So there was Andy yesterday in his Zoom meeting, as he says he looks forward to the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And also surgery last night, as he repaired his ACL. LCL should be what I think. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know how to predict, like, someone's injury someone's body.
You can't.
Right?
Yeah.
I would assume that instead of, you know, when maybe somebody asks you, like, when do we go to the lake? I don't know. Sometime in May.
Right.
You're not going to be like, May 5th on that Saturday, we're going to leave at 10 a.m. Like, I can't do that, right? I can tell you that it's probably going to be a weekend in May where we're going to go back down to the lake, kind of open things up, get ready for it, right? With this surgery, I would say I am expecting the first 4 weeks to have a different quarterback than Patrick Mahomes. And then after that, I think you go into it. And I think, like we said this year, if you can get into week 7 without Rashee Rice and be, what, 5-1 or 3-2, whatever we said we wanted to be, that's going to be the narrative next year. Like, can the quarterback in the season, which I also think there is some sort of scripted stuff here, because you mentioned this yesterday, right? Like, if Mahomes is injured and they know that he's not going to play the first 5 weeks, you would think that those primetime games they want the Chiefs to be in will not be in the front of the schedule. Look at those first five this year.
Oh, yeah, we're
Chargers,
not having
Philly,
that this
Giants,
year.
Giants, Baltimore, Jacksonville, right?
Right.
Pretty big five. Next year, it might be like, Raiders week 1 in Arrowhead at noon.
At noon.
Awesome.
Yep.
Okay. Week 2, we play the AFC East. Oh, it's going to be the Jets and Chiefs in New York at noon.
Yeah.
Week 3, okay, here it is. Chargers Chiefs. Mahomes doesn't play, sets up a scene for later on. And then week 5,
Yeah, bye week
Kansas
four.
City,
yeah, Buffalo, Kansas City.
You can see it. It's like Buffalo, right, the reigning champs.
Yep.
Josh Allen's, you know, new house, and Mahomes comes in on a new knee.
Right.
And
wins. Yeah. Yeah. No. No. But that's kind of the way that I'm thinking about it as well. I mean, we're not going to know. Adam Schefter tweeted out that
he does
the 9 month return puts him at September 15th, which is week one, week two of the NFL season. Right. I don't think you can go into this off season though if you're the Chiefs thinking that Patrick Mahomes is going to be ready on week one. That's a bad plan of attack if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. You've got to plan like he is going to miss a considerable amount of time next year, because that's the way you have to operate. Because if you don't, you know, they always say you got to plan for the worst and hope for the best, right? And so they need to go out this offseason and find themselves a legitimate backup quarterback that you know can carry the first couple of games of the season. I don't know. Here's the way I feel about him. He's here right now, so I'm just like, eh. You know, and the way that the Chiefs kind of operate every year, they get a new backup quarterback in here. I think because he's here right now, I kind of have that feeling about him. So if they bring him back next year, Andy Reid has been great with quarterbacks over the course of his career. And if that's the guy that he trusted, who am I to tell him no, that's not the right guy to trust? But I would like to think there is a plan in place for a real legitimate backup quarterback that could come in here and be a potential starter for, as you keep saying, for at least the first 5 weeks of the season. And I don't disagree with you. You have to plan that you're not going to get Mahomes back till probably sometime mid-year.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get you some stadium news as that information is going to come more and more prominent this week. Plus, I want to give a little bit of a bucket list idea and maybe get into the minds of Nathan and Bob as well. Because you're listening to 96.5 The Fan, Bob Fesco, Nathan, Dusty, all with you all morning long here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports. Well, I want to ask you guys something. Text line, you can chime in as well. 913-586-7965. Do you guys have, like, obscure bucket list things? Like, I don't know, ice fishing maybe? Or maybe you want to go rock climbing? Not, like, why you would want to, but that's kind of an odd one.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that. An odd bucket list item. You said ice fishing, and that's kind of interesting to do. You see those people out there in these little huts in Minnesota on the ice, you know, fishing and doing all that kind of stuff. That doesn't look too bad.
Like, I think a lot of bucket list normalities, which is like a few of mine I will knock out this year, like going to Yankee Stadium and watching the Royals play the Yankees. That I'll do that. Go to Boston and sit in like the above Fenway. Go sit in Wrigleyville. Like, those are like normal, you would think, right? Like, or I don't know, whatever, but like, maybe one that's weird. Like, I want to go whitewater rafting. I want to go to, I want to go see, you know, a random EPL game or something.
That's
like that.
A bucket list item. My friend Ryan, who runs Cactus, we talk about it all the time, going out there and going to an EPL game just for the hell of it and seeing. But those I understand. And if anybody's done it, I'm sure we've got people on the text line Like, the ticket, trying to get tickets is like hard and impossible to get tickets to these type of games, and like, not expensive wise, but like, there's rules and regulations and stuff like that I've read to kind of resell their tickets over there. It's crazy with the hoops that you have to jump through, I think, to get those tickets. Now, again, I could be totally wrong about that, but some of the stuff that I read, I'm sure somebody on the text is like, oh no, it's easy to just go over there and use, you know, like their whatever, you know, app to do it.
I think mine is darts in Europe.
A chance to put this to bed.
Not a hand without a beer, by the way.
No.
And a few darts.
Was this the guy who put the fire out?
Yeah.
Double four.
Double one. Charlie Murphy wins on debut. Jimmy Perry. Showtime is frizzing.
The dart matches are insane. I mean, we talked about that guy a couple of weeks ago who walked out to that dart song and, you know, did all that. You know, that's crazy that they fill these arenas up like this to watch people throw darts. I mean,
I would be there. I have a dartboard in my garage because of like watching European darts.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Isn't that? Yeah. That guy lost his mind. Like, put the firework out and then started punching the table because he lost.
Yeah. Yeah. That was Richard. Putting the fire out was enough for me to see something of
that.
Hurt? Yes. Okay, I would imagine you're putting out fire, man.
Have you seen, so Nikola Jokic talks about like the crowds back home in Serbia and the basketball games.
Yeah.
And there was a clip that surfaced of Brian Windhorst. I don't know if it was recently taken or if it's old, but it surfaced like last week of him at one of those games where those crowds, you've seen those crowds. They're just like all, it's like
rowdy.
It's like KU student section on steroids across the entire
mixed
lower
with
bowl.
Cameron
like,
Indoor.
Just going yeah. nuts. And Brian Windhorst is just like in tears. He's like, I don't even know what I'm watching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being in a crowd. I mean, like that darts thing is electric. Doing like just being in a scene like that would be amazing.
Imagine getting that hyped up though at a dart match. Seriously, I mean, like everybody's there, they're fired up, they're cheering for this guy. You know, like usually you throw darts, it's at the bar. You know, it's like that. You're just doing that to kill time. Yeah, like this is like legit. How do those guys train? There's no running involved, is there?
In darts?
Yeah, like what do you do to train?
I mean, the guys?
Yeah, most
they
of them are
pints on stage.
Yeah, so like yeah. they doing curls? Or, I mean, I guess it's all just hand eye coordination.
They're doing what is that little thing you squeeze yeah. to get your forearm strength? But the precision those guys have, I envy.
I know it's crazy.
Like
it's
if you have a dartboard, you know I have it all like measured out because you know when you get you know a little liquid courage, you're like, hey, I have a dartboard. Like, wait, do you really? Like, let me back the car out real quick. Yeah. Let's get out there and you start playing cricket or you know 501, 301, whatever right. it may be. Yeah, it's cool. So somebody says, I've been ice fishing. It's nothing like grumpy old men. My obscure bucket list is completing an Olympic triathlon.
Oh, God.
Which I will
you.
Be doing in May of 26 in Belgium.
There you go. That's
shout
awesome,
out,
man. Is it an Ironman or is it a regular? Either way, you're a stud.
Olympic triathlon. Wow. That just seems like something I'll never be able to even attempt
so
to
that,
even read about.
That's like a marathon plus a 2 mile swim and then like a 100 mile bike or 50 mile bike or something like that. Like,
three
that's
things
nuts.
Involved.
That's a lot, man. That good for you.
You'll like this one from the 314. Filled my bucket list item last weekend. Went to the Army Navy game. It was awesome.
Awesome, yeah. That is a bucket list item, man. That's one of the coolest events that you can go to. I've been to like three or four of those in my childhood growing up, and it's special. It really is.
Somebody
man.
Says Japanese baseball.
I've heard great things about that. My friend Ben
That'd
went to Tokyo.
Yeah,
my friend Ben went to Tokyo a couple of months ago, and he's like, oh my god, the baseball games are you know just incredible. Everything is like coordinated in the stands, and you know it's a wild scene. Everybody loves it. I talk to scouts and whatnot in baseball who go over there all the time. They're like, it's just an insane environment. Like everybody's having fun. There's visitor sections and things of that nature too. Like,
did you see the old video when Bonds goes over there and hits like a piss missile at 500 feet, and they all just like, it's like they'd never seen anything like it before.
Yeah.
It's like, here's a juiced American athlete coming into your country. Watch this ball disappear.
Yeah.
And he does. He hits an absolute just.
And that's what the fans want.
Oh, they lost their mind.
Yeah,
they'd
of course.
Seen like Matsui. They'd seen Ichiro and all that. Yeah. And here comes Bonds. Boom. They're like, oh, get it. Okay. Got it. Somebody says, ride a bull for 8 seconds.
Well, yeah. Good luck.
Yeah. No good doubt luck. About it. Somebody says, World Series of Poker playing at the final table. I mean, anybody. I mean, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think my nerves get there. I mean, once I got to the where I got my money, like cash out, I'd be like, all right,
I'm out. See you later.
That's if you make it for the first 5 seconds.
Well, yeah.
A bucket list item might be, 119th and all.
Yeah, 119th and all could be a bucket list item for other people. There's a lot going on with the stadium stuff right now, and we're getting down
to it. So
it's
not happening this week. exactly. soon.
I was told by a very well-placed source on Friday that we're going to have closure soon is what I was told. And it was like these are the people that are involved. They want closure. Everybody wants closure. I think we are getting closure soon. And I'm going to set the odds at -125 that both end up in the state of Kansas. I think I'm going to start giving negative money
Bold
on
take.
That right now. Yeah.
-125.
Yeah. I think that's kind of where it's headed right now. That's just kind of the gut feeling that I get. Again, this stuff changes, you know, like it's on a dime. The Royal stuff is interesting because from what I understand, they're still negotiating with the Jay and maybe T-Mobile about some potential stuff as well. But the state of Kansas has what they call the LCC meeting, and that's the group who eventually has to approve the Starbond District. They have a meeting set for December 22nd. So you can take what you want from that and kind of figure out how all of that fits in, and especially with the end of the year coming fast, people want to see this thing resolved. And it, look, if you don't announce it this week or you wait till next week or the week after, it's the holiday time. You're going to lose a lot of buzz, you know, on this thing. And so I think the Royals are kind of wrapping up discussions, hopefully soon, with the Jay, with T-Mobile. I've also heard a potential land swap going on, too, between the Royals and Black and Veatch. If everything doesn't work out well, they'll just swap plots of land.
With Brett
Veatch? Yeah, that's right, with Brett. Yeah, with Brett. But they're kind of across the street from each other on 115th Street. There has been talk of a land swap deal involving Black and Veatch and the Sprint campus. And then the stadium could, if they can't get the deal done that they want, with with the Jay or whatnot, then they could just move the stadium across the street to where Black and Veatch is right now, and Black and Veatch could potentially move into where the Sprint campus is. Chiefs, I've been told, are in talks with the city of Shawnee about something. What that is, you can kind of infer what you think that potentially could be, but a lot of people over in Shawnee now are signing NDAs when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs. Convos are still happening in Missouri for the Chiefs, and if they do decide to stay at Arrowhead again, it does require a public vote of a sales tax to help, you know, contribute. No taxes are being used on the Kansas side of the state line unless you use it, and of course, that's the user tax, as we've been talking about, you know, for all of these months. I also love the fact that the folks in Leawood were complaining about this. I hate to break it to the folks in Leawood. 119th and Nall, not your town. You don't have a say. And also from the other things that I've understood about that meeting that took place, 30% of the people in attendance were from Jackson County. And they were out there trying to rabble rouse in Leawood about the potential stadium. So people can, you know, yell and scream all they want, but that's the beauty of this thing being in the state of Kansas, or these stadiums potentially being in Kansas. There is no vote of the people required. If you do anything in the state of Missouri, then you have to go to a vote of the people. We know how that turned out last time. And so that's why we sit here with, I think, potentially both of these teams, you know, ending up in the state of Kansas. Because I also think, too, after watching the Mahomes injury, guys, I think that's another, like, oh my, this is mortal. We better move fast on this, because if we don't build a new stadium when Patrick's playing, then we're probably never going to get that new stadium built for the Kansas City Chiefs. So for my sense, it just makes more sense to build a new stadium than invest in an old one. But, you know, who am I to decide? It's up to Clark and his family. But, you know, I think it, just the conversation that we're getting down to that nut-cutting time that everybody likes. Everybody wants the resolve today. We wanted it in June, for God's sakes, right? And I think everybody's kind of moving, you know, Dusty, in that direction, where I think we are going to see resolve sooner rather than later, hopefully on both. But I would think maybe at least on one before the end of this calendar year, because we've got to get moving. I mean, when you set a deadline of 2030, you know, you got to start moving dirt when you're going to, you know, build these stadiums. And it doesn't take, you know, 2 seconds to build these beautiful big new stadiums. You've got to have that time. And so the clock is starting to tick on both of these teams to make a decision.
Somebody says from the 816, a representative from T-Mobile said they would leave if the Royals came.
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. And then somebody says, so basically everyone who is in the area is going to get paid off so they don't complain.
No, it's not getting paid off. I mean, you have to buy people out of their land. I mean, if they own something, you've got to, you know, you got to take care of those people. You want that land, because the J land does not belong to the Sprint campus. It is a completely separate piece of land that's on there. So is that Andretti spot where they are as well. And I think they're building a Capital Grill and a tap house down there as well. Where that Andretti, that's different land as well. That's not Sprint campus land or Asperia land, however you want to say it. The J is not Asperia land, Sprint campus land either. And I've been told all along they'd like to have that J. They don't need the J land, but they'd like to have that J land. And so, of course, you would, to tie that whole thing together. But there are the backup plans out there as well. So, right. I mean, it's so much minutia right now, and maneuvering and money and millions and real estate. It all gets into the weeds. And, you know, I get stuff every day on this kind of stuff, and I pick and choose kind of what to throw out there that makes sense for people. You know, the minutia of this stuff is really mind-numbing for a lot of us, and it needs to end fast.
Somebody says, I'm really excited to have a dermatologist appointment and catch a game afterwards.
Yeah, I am too.
Your skin's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now put on some sunscreen and you'll enjoy the game.
I was supposed to have a dermatologist appointment on Thursday. Got dentist and dermatologist back-to-back. Getting old's fun.
Never thought, Nathan, that Bob would text into the text line during the show.
Oh,
did I? Yeah, apparently he did during the break.
Apparently.
My bucket list, yeah. I just want to make it through Christmas at my house with my wife's family.
Are you going to them or are they coming to you at your house?
Yeah, it says,
see, I'd rather have people come to me than go to them, right?
You just get sauced at your couch and be like, yeah, leave when you want.
Yeah, you disappear, hide in the house or
you
whatever.
You know where the bong is.
Yeah, that's right. You know, that's my dad three times as my nephews did.
below the sink, left of the drawers.
Hey, Uncle Bob, where's the bong? We don't have a bong here. I'm 75 years old, dude. Like, so yeah, I'd rather spend the time at home. Where would you guys rather? Would you rather have the people come to you for the holiday?
Always.
Or would you rather? Yeah,
always. I love to host poker. I love to host watch parties. All those are fine, unless it's like the big event. Like if somebody's gonna have a Super Bowl party, I don't want that. Or if somebody's, but like playoff games, always my house.
Yeah.
But you know, it comes with a big responsibility. You got to provide the biggest part of the meal, at least in my opinion.
You do. And you can't mess it up. And that's where the anxiety for me comes in, that I'm going to cook for all these people and nobody's going to like it.
Just get a Traeger.
Yeah.
I think something you said at the start there, Dusty, is where I'm at. I prefer to host unless it's the really big event.
Yeah.
It's the, if we have the holidays there and we can get the trash bags out, we can keep the gift wrap, you know, from getting all over the house. I don't want to have the house party where you wake up the next morning and there's Solo cups all over your house. Yeah, that's what I don't want to have. Yeah. But I'd rather have it in my environment, even if that means cooking, you know, hosting, whatever that
like
is.
My
I'd
favorite rather, thing rather is like that. the pre going out hosting. Where everybody's like, hey, we'll come over for a couple hours, have a few sodas, and then we'll leave. Like,
then
perfect.
We'll leave. Yeah, no, that is absolutely a good one too. But the other thing is the flip side is if you go somewhere else, you could just leave whenever you want and you don't have to wait for like, there's always a straggler or somebody won't go and you know, that kind of stuff. And you're ready for bed and these people are still here. Now, if you go somewhere, you've got the out time too. You can say, all right, we're out of here at 2 or whatever time it is, you know.
If you're in my social circle, you prefer to host me because I have no problem being the first one to be like, we're done eating. See you guys later. I'm out of here. And then everyone else sort of, oh, I got to go too. Yeah, I got to work in the morning. I sort of follow that lead. I have no problem being that first one to say, hey, guys, I'll see you later. So that everyone else can then say, oh, I got to get out of here.
Because we all know the greatest strategy when it's not at your place. You show up first, you leave first.
Yeah.
That's family.
Perfect.
That's friends. Hey, party starts at 7. All right, I'll be there at 7:15. Hey, how are you guys doing? Nobody's here yet? Oh, well, at least I'm here. You got me. And then, oh, wow, got to get out of here. Well, you just got here. No, I've been here 2.5 hours, but I got to get home. Okay, what are you going to do?
Not here.
All right. No chance. So Mac out today. I assume he'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Bad guts on that kid. But I will say this. He always has Max Pack. He had the Chiefs, I think, in the Max Pack until
yesterday.
Yeah, 13. Yeah. Closer to Max Pack, or are they closer to Bob's Bottom Feeders?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you guys. Mm-hmm. I want to gauge your interest on this because you could go either direction with this team. Are they closer to a top 5 team in the NFL? Or are they closer to a bottom 5 team in the NFL? I would say right now they're probably closer to a bottom 5 team in the NFL than a top 5 team in the NFL with the lack of wide receivers, lack of defensive line, lack of quarterback right now, because you do have to factor that in as well. Gardner Minshew, you know, is your starting quarterback at this point. No running back. I would think right now the Chiefs are closer to Bob's Bottom Feeders than they are to Max Pack at this point in time. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I don't think they're like in the same pool as like the Browns, the Jets, those teams.
Right.
But I think that the next tier up is where they're grouped, at least right now, with like, I don't know, the Saints, the Commanders, the Dolphins.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, I don't think they're in the pool of like the Titans, the Jets, the Browns, the Giants. I don't think they're in that pool, but I don't think that they're anywhere near. So I guess the answer would be they're closer to the bottom than they are, obviously, to the top. I mean, right now, what, they're picking 14th?
Right. No, 11th.
11th?
11th, yeah.
Yes, I mean, like, depending on how the Dolphins and Vikings finish this thing, they could pick in the top 10.
That's right.
They really could pick in the top 10.
Absolutely. And so that's why I think they probably are, at this point in time, closer to that bottom feeder realm than they are to the, you know, to the Max Pack and the top 5 that he picks every week. And, you know, we'll reveal those coming up on Wednesday at about 7:20. But I know people are anticipating that. But, you know, maybe we misjudged this roster all season long, guys, and we kept saying, you know, this roster is really good, it's right there. And then kind of as the season went along, we realized maybe this roster wasn't as good as we thought. And then injuries obviously recently on the offensive line have settled in, but I think maybe we all kind of just misjudged this roster going into the season and thought maybe on paper it was better than it was. And then we saw it and we realized, wow, maybe this roster just got old really fast too.
I think the only thing that we as fans misjudged is the wide receiver room.
Okay.
I think with the drops, with just, you know, with Worthy, it's like, is he more of a gadget guy or is he just hurt? With Rice, it's like, you know, key drops, the routes, the effort, all, you know, have you heard about that? Hollywood Brown's been nothing. Juju has been less than he was last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any fans are shocked at the output of the running back room, for example.
Right.
And then I think when it comes to the pass rush, like, I think it's just like Spags isn't getting home. Like the blitzes aren't getting home as much. They've never been a dominant front four throughout the last couple of years of this run either. So I'm not sure if it's just like there's too many chinks in the armor and then eventually like things just sort of spilled over.
Uh-huh.
For me, the big miss though was the wide receiver room. I thought this was going to be a dynamite group, and they haven't been good. Mm-hmm. Flat out have not been good.
No, they have not been good. Yeah, the wide receiver positioning group this year has stunk out loud, and that really is upsetting because they had a lot of hope and a lot of promise, you know, for that wide receiver group. And the reason I asked the question is so we can really all start having a realistic view of what happened, but also what's going to come for this team. And if we're looking at it, and the three of us are saying, hey, I feel they're closer to a bottom feeder team than a max pack top five team, when they start making changes this offseason and people you know are no longer here, you have to understand why they're no longer here, because you're coming off a team that just wasn't that good this year, and it really does need a facelift at a lot of different areas on the field, more so than off the field. But on the field, it needs a lot of facelifting. It needs a lot of youth movement. It needs a lot of younger guys kind of coming in and starting this regime over. Because I think when we look at it and we start to, you know, really get down into the weeds of this thing, they, you know, this season just didn't put the best product out there on the field, and a lot of changes do need to happen this offseason.
Somebody says, I'm just going to go on the record here by saying that look at the teams that have the similar records to the Chiefs. I think they're better than those teams. Maybe. In years past, but not this year.
But not this year. That's the thing. We kept saying that all year long. Oh, in a one-game playoff, in a one-game playoff. Well, the Chiefs had all these one-game playoffs, Dusty, from week 9 to where we are right now. And we all said, oh, nobody wants to see the Chiefs get in the playoffs. The Chiefs' playoffs essentially started, you know, after the bye, and they're 1-4. So I don't know why all these folks were sitting there saying, oh, I don't want to see the Chiefs in the playoffs. The Chiefs have been in the playoffs since week 10, and they've stunk, and they haven't been any good. And the only win they got was against an Indianapolis team that they barely beat. They didn't lead in that game whatsoever until the final play of overtime where they won that game. And so, I mean, people kept saying, oh, this is a playoff team. I don't want to see them in the playoffs. Well, they've been playing playoff games for the last 5 weeks, and they haven't done anything with that.
Well, also, like, I think they're better too, but if they're playing one of those teams that's 6-8, 7-7, are you running it well?
Yeah,
I purposely didn't say 6-7, Dusty. Mm-hmm. But if they're playing the Vikings or the Panthers this week, are you slamming the Chiefs money line?
No,
I'm not.
No,
I think they're closer to a bottom five team.
Yep.
I'm not worried about next season though, because there are ways to create cap space that are so easy. I think they're going to be able to have a version of that free agency class where they went out and got Ty Matthew and Frank Clark, mm-hmm. as well as a premium draft pick they haven't had in the past. So I think you're going to get a lot of new young blood this offseason in there. As of right now, I don't see how you could say they're closer to being a top five team. Yep. They're closer to being a bottom five team.
Tough seasons equal tough moves. Mm-hmm. Chiefs going to Tennessee this week as 3.5-point favorites. So. Yeah, over under 37.5. That's got to be the lowest over under for a Chiefs game in the last 5 years.
That's crazy. 37.5. Wow.
For reference, this week, Cleveland and Chicago in the -20 wind chill game, the over under was 38.5.
I mean, I don't know how Max is going to recover, so I might not be in anymore right. this week. Yeah. Titans money line, right, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's plus 160.
Like, that's easy?
You think the Titans are winning this thing?
Yeah, I think
I hope. Right, go keep going down.
That is true. Now is the time where you don't care if you win game. Now you're out of it. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The Chiefs
absolutely.
Are holding out guys like McDuffie and Trey Smith and Juwan Taylor. You have to imagine, right? That's not breaking news, but like guys that are struggling to come back, you're not pushing them back.
Not for this.
Season,
no,
right?
There's no reason to.
So for the Titans, this is like Cam Ward's big like. The moment that they hold on to for the rest of the offseason. We beat the Chiefs, even though it's Gardner Minshew and Chu Godrick, we beat the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, that's what this is?
Like I said, the over-under is 37.5. You want to guess what the over-under is in the Jets-Saints game?
38.
I'd say about 41.
40.5.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, low-scoring game. Should be fun.
Wow.
So, red zone at noon. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to a tough Tuesday. Plus, we'll get to something that is easy money and, well, easy decision for Philip Rivers as well. Here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Well, we told you about the line in the game of the Chiefs and the Titans. 37.5 is the over-under. Chiefs minus 3.5. Maybe not the easiest way to make money, but you know how to make the easiest money? Patrick Mahomes, comeback player of the year next year. I mean, that's
that's a lock, right? I think that is a lock for everybody right now. The Patrick Mahomes comeback player of the year. Get your money in right now on that. You know, and I don't know what the number is going
to
be.
I also don't know if you can bet it right now. Yeah. But obviously, when the season comes to a conclusion and they get new, fresh odds, he will probably be high up there when it comes. Because right now, I think the winner in the clubhouse or the leader in the clubhouse is Christian McCaffrey. So Christian McCaffrey right now minus 210. You want to guess who's second?
Uncle Dak.
Phil? Dak's plus 700. So is Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, but see, you can't come back from sucking.
Was he gone?
No. He stunk.
Aiden Hutchinson is plus 3,500. Second overall best odds, depending on where you get them, Phillip Rivers plus 500.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. That's insane for Phillip Rivers to be
120 yards passing, got a loss, played football, but he's comeback player of the year. And good for him because, boy, we know why he came back.
Yeah, we do. I mean, they're reporting that he came back because of insurance. I mean, we've all been there, right? You have to pay for that insurance, and then all of a sudden you're like, all right, I got to find a job with better benefits. And so I guess what happens is when you're a fully vested player in the NFL and in your pension, I don't know how many years that is for an NFL player in baseball. It's 10. But in the NFL, he's a fully vested guy in his pension. And because of that, they give you family health benefits for free for the first 5 years after your career. Well, what just happened? Phillip Rivers looked at his watch and went, oh, the 5 years are up. I've got 17 kids and grandkids. I need insurance. I'm going back to work. Clock resets. He now gets insurance for the next 5 years after this because he came back. It is a genius move by Phillip Rivers to reset that insurance clock to go back so he doesn't have to write that thing out of pocket for all those kids and grandkids that he has right now.
First of all, isn't the comeback player of the year just kind of what injured superstar gets healthy?
Well, it has been.
It should be.
But then they started giving to who sucked the year before.
It's still a dumb award, even if that's what it is.
What, Burrow's won it twice? I think Dak was the favorite most of the year. Then McCaffrey's just been a freak.
So it'll be Mahomes or Micah Parsons next season.
Oh, Parsons too. Yep. That's a good one.
Or Burrow.
Or Burrow potentially. Maybe, but he's back this year.
Yeah, they said he's going to play the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But back to Phillip Rivers. Yeah, I guess is he not a public school faculty member as that football coach in high school? Because if not, yeah, he probably needs those benefits.
Yeah. And here's how it works in school. I know how it works for the district in which my wife is in. She gets her benefit free, but you have to pay for everybody else to come alongside of you. And so the NFL is giving it for free. I'll go out there and get sacked a few times for free bennies.
Yes.
It is a Tuesday. In the 6 o'clock segment, so we do have a tough Tuesday here. Mine is going to go to Ryan Clark for this snidbit of audio.
But Michael Parsons is hurt because of Bo Nix. And I'm not saying it's one of those things that's Bo Nix's fault, but the violence in which Michael Parsons had to chase Bo Nix the entire second half was extremely evident, whether it was the touchdown to Bandy, the throw to Troy Franklin, getting outside of the pocket and finding Lil Jordan Humphrey. You could see that Michael Parsons was the one person in pursuit of Bo Nix the entire day. And on the injury and on the play he was hurt, Bo Nix attempted to get outside. He found Mims, and you could see Micah redirect in order to keep him in the pocket. That was part of what he'd seen the entire night and the way Bo Nix was able to attack that defense. Bo Nix was amazing last night, and it's sad you lose a great player like Micah Parsons, but it was because of the effort he needed to give in order to get to Denver's quarterback.
I mean, he could have just stopped
but Micah
right here.
Parsons is hurt because of Bo Nix.
Okay. I don't know if he just like didn't know what he was supposed to do at that moment, so he just started rambling. But Micah Parsons is hurt because of Bo Nix. Tough Tuesday for Ryan Clark.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there's phrasing. There's better way to put it. I mean, talk about how great Bo Nix is. Like, why can't we do that? Why does it have to relate, you know, to the Micah Parsons injury. Micah Parsons got injured because Micah Parsons got injured, just like Patrick Mahomes got injured. He's out there playing in an NFL game. It's not the fact or the fault of anybody that either of those guys were injured and down on their luck. So anyway, I think that's it's a ridiculous take by Ryan Clark. Is he trying to say that Bo Nix is a really good football player, or is he really trying to blame Bo Nix for Micah Parsons being injured? Because if we're going to do that, then we're going to start blaming anybody who's in the area of anybody that's getting injured on the football field. Nathan, you got one?
I've got to give it to the Bengals organization. So obviously the Burrow news broke last week when he gave that press conference, and we all sort of said, oh, is this an Andrew Luck moment?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you think about Cincinnati the last few years, we've hung our hat on maybe they built their team the wrong way. They paid all their receivers, but that offense is still elite. And now, you know, if Burrow stays healthy, they can be in games because that unit is so good. They get blanked by the Ravens on Sunday. So their first game after being eliminated, they get shut out by the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
So that compounds your quarterback who is now having some sort of an, existential, crisis when it comes to his career in football. You got Ja'Marr Chase saying on Sunday, I just got to be there for him no matter what he's going through. There's all these cryptic things happening, and then this great offense gets shut down immediately. So I'm really watching what they look like the rest of this year, if they're playing with pride or if they're going through the motions, because I mean, I think Zach Taylor's needed to be, I think he should have long been fired, but they're going to have to make massive overhauls if they even keep their quarterback going into next season. So tough Tuesday for me is the Bengals.
Yeah, they may have the greatest lottery ticket in the history of the NFL right now with Joe Burrow, and have the opportunity to cash that thing in. And I do think the Cincinnati Bengals need to trade Joe Burrow this offseason. That clearly seems like a marriage. I'm going to stay in Ohio for my tough Tuesday, and I'm going to go up north a little bit to Cleveland, where Kevin Stefanski was giving Shedeur Sanders the wrong armband, allegedly, to wear out there to try to mess with him, allegedly, is now what the story has become in Cleveland. The trust factor with this Kevin Stefanski guy and Shedeur Sanders right now is next to zero. I don't know if you can get any lower with the trust that both of those guys have together. There's going to need to be changes in Cleveland as well. And if this coach is really going out there and giving the wrong armband to the quarterback to try to set him up for failure, that is grounds for termination at this point in time. And you should move on from Kevin Stefanski, regardless of his two, coach of the year honors and whatnot. That just seems like a marriage in Cleveland. It reminds me of the end of the Todd Haley situation here in Kansas City, where he looked like a homeless dude, grew a beard, embarrassed himself, tried to embarrass the family to try to get fired. And that's ultimately what happened. I feel like this is the same thing with Kevin Stefanski right now. He's not quitting, which is smart, but he's trying to find ways to get fired so he can cash in the rest of that contract and walk away, of which I don't blame him. But the tough Tuesday for him, because if you're giving players the wrong plays on purpose, you should be blackballed from the league, quite honestly.
I didn't know the sponge is supposed to be wet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that audio, and I'm like, well, he said the quarterback's armband got wet. Tough Tuesday could also go to one of the most brutal endings to a football game I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, a Shaw player took off his helmet thinking that was the ball game. For St. Charles Catholic was done by Kristan McQuain. I blocked it, and look at this. Look at this. St. Charles Catholic's got new life. Redemption on his mind. High snap. They get it down. It heads to the uprights. It is good! Oh, my goodness! From heartbreak to hero!
So for those of you that missed that story of where that audio is coming from, there was a high school game for state title this weekend, and one of the kids who thought the game was over, when all they had to do was kneel the ball down, decided to take his helmet off. And threw it up in the air. The refs called a flag, mm-hmm. right? So he took his helmet off. They had to kneel it down. They had to then punt. The punt is blocked by the opposing team. The opposing team gets the field goal. You hear the audio. They kick the field goal. They lose the state championship.
Yeah, well, that's Dwayne Rudd 2.0 all over again. I mean, you can't do that kind of stuff.
Part of this too, then, like the kicker. So the team that was trailing was
which
down
state
by
is
seven.
This in?
I want to say Louisiana.
Okay, yeah, it was in Louisiana.
So they were down by seven. They scored a touchdown. All they had to do was make the extra point to tie the game. They miss it. So,
okay.
So with like 50 seconds left, oh my God, we're winning state championship. This helmet toss is on first down. So the defense still has two timeouts. They just weren't going to call them because the math didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
They were just going to let them knee the game out. The kid tosses his helmet, timeout for the penalty. Well, now it's like timeout on second down, timeout on third down, block the punt, go down. Kicker gets another shot. 40 seconds of game time later, nails it. They win state. Like, Dude, yeah, that lineman that tossed his helmet. I
think I'm enrolling into a new high school.
Well, 100%. I mean, but you can't do that kind of stuff. I mean, we've known this for years. You don't throw your helmet up into the air. That's on them. Sorry, pal. I mean, Dwayne Rudd did it and changed the whole NFL game. And changed, really, I think that was 02, but I don't think it changed the season all that much. But, I mean, that changed that game. And since then, you know, he's like, don't throw your helmet. Coaches preach that kind of stuff all the time. Keep your helmet on at all times. And so that kid, I mean, sorry, pal, you screwed your team. You really did.
I think that's one of those. I think that season when Dwayne Rudd did that, the Chiefs riled off like 8 in a row.
It was opening day, though. Was it 03 or was it 02? I can't remember. If it was 03, then they did. They won 9 in a row to start that thing. But I can't remember what year exactly it was. It was somewhere either 01, 02, or 03. And 01, they were 6-10. 02, they were 8-8.
It was 02.
So they were 8-8 that year. Yeah.
Damn. Morton Anderson, shout out. Game winning field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up on the other side, I see a lot of people say they want certain guys back. I might have a theory of what you could do next year in a way that I don't know if it makes sense or not. We'll explain here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.